Hey, what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fashion. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony. Go BBS Radio.
Listen, we're back another Thursday, me and V. We're putting it in. Listen, we're going to put it down. This show tonight is going to be down and down. We're going to get deep. We're going to get deep into what's going on in the NFL, what's going on in college. Oh, man, people are still talking about Florida State, and the list goes on of sports topics. Yeah, Florida State there. I'm getting texts as we're on the air right now. I'm getting different texts coming in and out my phone. In reference to Florida State, I say they got to let that go. They got to get ready to move forward. And when we talk about moving forward, there are certain teams that don't know if they're going to move forward with their guy. They're going to move forward without their guy. Can they get a deal? Will they still have to pay on a deal? Or can they just say, hey, we cut ties and we move one way, you go another way. Both parties are happy. Right. Will there be a happy ending? We don't know. We're going to find out. We're going to dig deep into that. And with that being said, when we get ready to dig into that, my main man, Talib, will be joining the show. Another Denver Bronco. Listen, I'm giving Vaughn some nuggets, man. I'm giving them some nuggets when it comes to these Denver Broncos, man. I'm giving them great nuggets. These guys are great friends of mine that are taking the time out. So, listen, we're going to dive into it. Listen, we're going to talk a little Michigan and Washington. Who would have thought? At this point in the game, be that Michigan and Washington both will be ones playing for the national championship. Some people thought there would be Alabama and possibly Texas in a rematch, and that never panned out. Great games. Great games.
Great games.
When I say great games, this is why I'm saying great games, and we're going to come back to it why I say great games, because it goes back to our Florida State topic. But we're going to also get into Carolina Panthers owner, David Tepper. Where should we go? What would happen to a player if that was a player? We're going to dive into that a little bit. We're going to also dive into, a lot of people are talking about the ending of the Dallas Cowboys game and how that should have played out, how it shouldn't have played out. Did the ref do the right thing? Did the players do the right thing? Did the players try to finagle both the ref and the Dallas Cowboys, and we come to this point. We're going to dig into that a little bit. We're going to show you what time it is. Also, we cannot, each and every week, the Denver Broncos are giving us a soap opera throughout the NFL, and we're going to dig into that, man. We talk about it a lot off the air. His side, my side, we're going to find out Talib's side, because he is a Bronco. He's been in the Bronco organization. He's been with the Patriots, so He's been up under some great.
He won a world championship with the Broncos. He has the right.
He is a world champion. We're going to dab into that. Listen, man, without further ado, let's get into this thing. Let's go national championship. Because now, listen, can you believe the national championship tickets are running? If you're in the nosebleeds are running at 1,500. If you're lower level, 50-yard line, $53,000. $53,000 at the lower level of a national championship game.
Wow. Serious.
That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering, and we talk about those were great games. Those were four great games that were played, that played out. Now we go, it takes me back to the Florida State, Georgia.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people saying, you know, I'm studying here. Well, Florida State didn't play all the players. I understand. I never want to not understand that part at all. But it is a game of football. These guys, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you guys some nuggets that I don't supposed to be sharing, but I'm going to share them anyway because I got to shed light on this situation. I want to shed some light on this whole situation of how that played out. And everybody's saying, B, that Florida State didn't play their guy. So what's your take on it? This is a game of football. Do you lessen what this game was for Georgia because Florida State didn't play their guys? Should Florida State guys have played? Or should we look at this could possibly be what Florida State would look like next year?
Well, here's the thing. I like what Kirby Smart said at the end of the game. Kirby Smart said, this has got to change.
Yes.
Kirby Smart said this because he realized in the third quarter, he started calling dive plays and anything he could to eat the clock out of respect to Florida State and Mike Norvell, the head coach. Okay, correct. So he could have easily scored 80 points that game the other night against Florida State. We're dealing with a juggernaut, first-string players going up against people who never played in college football before. Okay, so the effort was there by Florida State, but the talent level was on – you got guys who were playing in their first game in college before against people who have been seasoned to play this for 4 years and was going for a national championship a couple weeks ago. So while it was a devastating loss for Florida State, at the same time, I respect that Kirby Smart said, this has got to change. The whole bowl concept has to change. These bowl games, Tony, were unwatchable. The only games that were competitive was Clemson against in their game was a competitive game. I thought that and the two college games that we had this past weekend, I thought were good. I thought the Oklahoma-Arizona game was interesting and exciting. Outside of that, the rest of these games have been garbage. No disrespect to the people that played in the games, but from a viewership standpoint, it's not watchable. And here's the last point. The sponsors are going to come in next. The sponsors are paying for Oklahoma to come in or Ohio State. Did you see Ohio State against Missouri? Yes. Ohio State against Missouri had less than 75 passing yards in the third quarter. It was unwatchable. Whoever paid as the sponsor is not paying for that. So what they're paying for and what the sponsor is getting is going to be two different things. That's going to be the next topic in college football.
And me as a sponsor, if I am purchasing one product, I'm purchasing a product stating that your top guys will be playing. This is going to remind me, it's reminding me almost of the NFL in the Pro Bowl, when the Pro Bowl took that drastic switch to where now it went to a whole different. Everybody was like, wait a minute, hold on. We want to see some of that Sean Taylor type hitting. We don't see that anymore. These guys, that last game that they had in the Pro Bowl, to where it looked like it was touch football.
It was flag football, basically.
And it sent a lot of people home sour that this is not the NFL and we've gone now to touch football. So with that being said, this is what the sponsor is going to say, hey, listen. We might have to recoup some of our money because what we're seeing on the field is not the product that we paid for. We can't even get television commercials to run because they don't want to run during those hours. One of the games, ESPN pretty much played all their commercials because they couldn't get no commercial slot during the game.
Right.
Couple of the games, the fan, as a matter of fact, the Oregon Liberty game, the stadium was almost empty.
I mean, how could you pay a couple hundred dollars for some of these games, Tony? I mean, the fans from these schools want to attend the games, but what they know is that, hey, so-and-so's not playing. We got eight guys out. We got these people transferring. So how does the fan base, the school, the community get behind these games by paying thousands of dollars to go attend the game when you're not even seeing the product?
You're not seeing it. And we look at Florida State. And I'm going to go back to Florida State because I'm going to dab into this a little deeper. Than what a lot of people know, that when we say, okay, as you said earlier, we got first-year guys playing, okay? That's not prepared. But I'm going to tell you why these guys weren't prepared. And this is why sometimes I say, was these guys a little selfish with Florida State? And what I mean by that, their own players. Okay, some of these guys that opted out at the last minute, took all the reps in practice for the bowl game.
I believe it.
They took all the reps.
I believe it.
Opted out at the last minute. Some guys opted out, guess when?
On the same day.
On their drive down. on their drive down, on their drive to Miami. Because guess what? Either you went with the team or we paid you to drive yourself down. And you decided you was going to call your coach and tell your coach, coach, I don't think I'm. It was a couple. So now you took all the practice reps. So the backup guys that could have been a little bit better prepared.
Yeah, prepared.
Didn't do it. So now when you were hearing, when I'm hearing stuff like this, I'm looking like, okay, guys, look, you left Coach LaBelle out here hanging. Because guys that are true to coaches,
right?
If they're true to their coach, rather than a position coach, the love for their head coach, you're going to go through a brick wall. And I understand people going to say, well, they was getting ready for the draft. But they knew that before they took all those practice reps. They knew that. They knew that they was not going to play in the game. They was going to wait until the last minute. You wait till the last minute to do that? That's kind of crazy.
This is the new age athlete that we're dealing with, Tony. Unfortunately, yes. That people are doing that. Now, there was a time when people would have never done that.
No.
There was a time that people would have never transferred from their school.
Correct.
Right? They were so loyal to the brand, the school. I got four generations that went before me, possibly to the school. So there was a whole different type of allegiance and loyalty. Now what's happening is you got kids transferring. You got kids going to the draft, right?
Correct.
And so it throws this whole bowl thing out of whack. But we have to give props to Michael Penix, Bo Nix, Jalen Nabers.
See, but that's what I'm saying. Kid.
Thomas out of both LSU wide receivers played in the game. All right. So they didn't have to. Washington's wide receiver played with Michael Penix. There's a lot of guys that have contributed and actually played in the bowl games. And these guys need to be commended because they risked injury. They risked money. They risked the bag. But what did they do? They actually went out there and played. Now, win or lose, they still perform.
They perform. And that's what I'm saying. A lot of people say, well, it wasn't a national championship. But, girl, listen, when you lined up mono-mono, man against man, you didn't think about that. And I think the structure of it has come to a head. From the simple fact, I think they're going to tell them that these kids are opting out, even though it is late in the season for them to opt out. How does this affect them when it comes to their academics? A lot of people say, well, it don't make a difference because these guys will be making millions of dollars. So it doesn't make a difference. They can pay for their own scholarship. But you leave your own teammates hanging.
Right.
You left your teammates hanging. God, that, as you say, we blood, sweat, and tear together. How true was that? You can't say that because you left them hanging. A true guy would say, guess what, guys? I'm not going to take no practice reps at all. I'm not taking it. I'm not going to take no practice reps because I want you guys to get prepared, to be selfish of me, even if I had a doubt. Coach, I think I got a doubt, so make sure you kind of rep some of the other guys.
That's it. If you stay, you stay. You're prepared. If you don't stay, you got this guy already prepared, and you say, look, Jamal, I've been raising you for 3 years as a linebacker. Yes. It's your time to shine, bro. You know what I'm saying? But that's what these guys are supposed to do, but we're dealing with a different generation of athlete, unfortunately. And now what I think, though, is going to happen is a lot of people's stock rose a lot bigger by playing in these games.
Yes.
I mean, Michael Penix is showing off, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix. A lot of these people are showing out that against premium talent that, hey, listen, when the lights are bright, I'm willing to compete against the best talent available, win or lose.
Win or lose, it is what it is. Florida State has got to and you talked about it, and we said it. Are these some of the same guys that will be on the field for Florida State next year? Because now it takes me back to, where's all these great recruiting classes that we've heard about the last couple of years? If this is the product that we have on the field that looked at, and let's not play this. Georgia could have scored again.
They could have scored 80 on the game, Tone. Seriously, yes. I mean, Kirby Smart dialed his offense down tremendously in the second half.
And he took a lot of guys out.
He started putting people in. But let's remember now, being that we're saying that a lot of people left, Georgia is actually a team where had a lot of teammates that actually came back. These guys wanted to finish for each other. Whether they were fourth or fifth year seniors, they wanted to contribute to each other. So there's two halves of it. You got the young athlete on one side who's, you know, willing to transfer and actually leave. And you got the Georgia guys willing to contribute, you know?
And see, that's, you know, and that's why when I'm on my Facebook or on my social media and I'm going back and forth with guys in reference to this Florida State thing, it makes me wonder, how true are these guys to the right. brand of Florida State, because I just like I said, I know a lot of people say, did this actually make the bowl committee say, you know what? This is why we didn't add them in there, because this is what we got. Rather, your people
well, no,
like
I
it
think,
or not.
I don't think it's really the brand tone. I think it's across the board. It's across the board.
You say across the board. What do you mean when you say across the board?
Across the board, like if we would like take all the bowl teams that win a bowl game this year, we added up how many transfers that all of these teams had. You know what'll happen is that I think we would realize that there was a lot of schools that had players transfer. Maybe not to the magnitude of Florida State because they had high impact players that left in relation to, let's say, another team that went to a smaller level bowl game. But at the end of the day, I mean, I wouldn't put it on Florida State saying that the brand was tampered or that the players weren't loyal to the brand. These young players are loyal to themselves now and to securing their NIL deals and going where they feel that they should be able to play. You know what I mean?
And that's what I'm saying. And when we talk about play, guys, listen, I got to shoot. I got my main man that's coming on. When you talk about playing the position like it's supposed to be played.
Right.
Listen, man, you can't talk about another guy. When it came to playing the position at DB for the Denver Broncos, Super Bowl champion, first team All Pro in 2016, five-time Pro Bowler from 2013 all the way to 2017. Listen, before I bring him on, Thomas, play that soundbite first. Play that soundbite number three. Let me let my listeners let them see what I'm talking about, because I don't know if they can feel me, but I'm feeling me.
That's it.
Before I bring my guy on, before I bring Talib on.
It's a legend.
Let's play this.
Intercepted by Talib. Aqib Talib has to beat Flacco, and he weaves back to the middle and finds the end zone. Aqib Talib reads the quarterback better than any corner in the league.
Listen, without further ado, when you talk about the cornerback position, as I told you, Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion, the Denver Bronco, we talk about secondaries, one of the greatest secondaries ever assembled. A man to lead joins the show. What's up, my brother?
Tell us what's going on. How y'all doing?
Man, I'm fine, man. Sir. Listen, Talib, listen, my co-host, Von Carter, is a deep, I don't know how deep I could go. A deep Denver Bronco fan, man. He was delighted when I told him, I had Chris on last week and I got you on this week. He was, listen, he got a smile from ear to ear right now. You hear me?
Respect, my brother. Respect, respect, Aqib.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, you brought a lot of smiles to my Sunday, brother, in the Broncos country as well. As a world champion, you won it for the Broncos, my brother, and it's a pleasure to be able to talk to you for a few minutes.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure for y'all. Appreciate y'all having me on.
All right.
Y'all good?
Yeah, man. Listen, man, we having fun here, man. We like to have fun. We like to get our guests on and have fun with our guests. Talib, I'm going to take you. Let's go back a little bit. Now, you in college, I want to take them back, because Talib and I myself are ring brothers. We're Ring of Honor brothers. We're Ring of Honor brothers. Talib was there, you know, a little bit when my son was – he was there a little bit when my son was there. And I got a chance to interact and meet him. And we really bonded during our Ring of Honor ceremony. Sometimes you're there and you can't get to the players when they're playing. But we really got a chance to bond and communicate with each other during my Ring of Honor ceremony. I was delighted that you took your time out your schedule to come back and welcome me in to the family of Ring of Honor guys, man. And it was delight. But Talib, you played on one of the greatest, and I always say, you played on one of the greatest Kansas team assembled. What was that like, and what went into you know where Kansas came from, and to be there to where now you guys are 1-2, you're getting ready to go to the Orange Bowl. What was that journey like, and how was you guys able to accomplish that first?
First, man, that journey was amazing. We was a close team. It was kind of all Mangino guys there, so it was early in that process, but we just had a great offseason, man. Mangino set it up to where he kind of split us into these teams. I'm sure people probably heard that story before, but he just did offseason a little different that year, and he kind of split us up into teams, and he just made everything super competitive, from everything from going to class to lifting weights to grades to everything. So it just instilled a competitiveness in us as a team, and that just led over to the field in the season, and we was able to win a bunch of games, man. We had a nice vibe going, man. It was a perfect group of guys put together.
And you talk about a perfect group of guys. You're talking about, I gotta tell you, I talk about secondaries, guys. You're talking about Chris Harris and Tlaib. You're talking about two guys that was in the same back secondary. But then you also you go, and now you get drafted. You get drafted, and you get ready to go off. You go to the NFL. What was it like on your draft day? Did you know you was going to go that high? Did you know you was going to go first round? What was it like waiting on that process?
I had a pretty good idea I'd go first round. You go on a bunch of NFL visits, just like college visits, man. You go visit teams, and they really tell you what they think about you, and you ask you questions and tell you where they're going to draft you. If you fall to this pick, we're going to draft you here. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not, though. Tony, you know how that goes. But
yes.
For the most part, you have a good idea. You already ran your 40, so you know what people are thinking about the speed. You basically know everything that they're thinking about you. So you pretty much know what round you're going to go in, around what round you're going to go in, but you still don't know. So when it started getting to, you know, middle end of the first round, I kind of was skeptical, like, oh, man, am I going to go first round? I really didn't know, but that call came in soon. I thought I'd go first round, and the call came in later first round. But that day was just amazing, man. Just sitting
like
around with my family. Yeah, just sitting with the fam and waiting on that call and just vibing, seeing everybody so excited, man. That's a day that I'll never forget. I actually had Hey Rookie, the show was there in my house, so I got like the raw footage of that day, the whole day. So yeah, sometimes I can just go back and watch that, let my kids watch that whole day. So it's crazy. I got that whole day on tape, man. So it's wonderful.
Wow. And now you get drafted. You bark upon, at this time, what we consider, when we look at the NFL, there's certain teams that have that brand. It has that aura about it. You get drafted to the Broncos. You go to the Broncos. What was it like when you first got to the Broncos, your first mini camp with the Broncos? What was that like for you?
It was good. They was already a good team. You know what I'm saying? We kind of battled. I was in New England, and we battled against those guys kind of before I got there. So we already knew they was a good team. And then I just got to some of the guys. Peyton was there. It was kind of similar to Tom being a coach on the field. And you could see the work ethic of the team. And I just came in wanting to add what I bring to the table to that team, you know. So it was a great vibe. Again, it was a perfect group of guys, man. Football is all about a vibe, a camaraderie. And you'd be surprised how many games that a good team could win opposed to a bunch of talented players. You know what I'm saying? It's a totally different thing. So it's hard to get a good team together, man. And I think I'm one of those locker room guys, man. You put me in a locker room, you put me with a group of guys, I do a good job bringing us together. I'm one of the guys who's going to help bring them groups together. So I just was excited to bring, you know, put my little spin on the defense, or on the locker room, rather. And, again, man, TJ came, D-Ware came, Roby was drafted. It was just like a handful of new guys in that locker room, and it was just a perfect fit for it.
Wow. And you talk about, you named two of the quarterbacks that you had an opportunity to play for. What was it like playing with both of those quarterbacks? And what was different about each one of them? When we talk about Tom and, And what was it like playing with Tom Brady? Because a lot of people don't know what it's like to play with what you consider the GOAT.
Man, it's like a it's like a movie scene, man. Tom is super competitive. I'm talking about he never turns it off in practice. It's game like, you know what I'm saying? So I just remember those practice battles, a lot of practice battles with Tom. He's trying to tear us up in practice. We competing with him. I'm telling you, it's just nonstop competition, trying to win everything with Tom, man. It's all business with Tom, man. So it was super fun playing with him because that's how I am too, man. I'm a winner myself. And
yes.
I like to be surrounded by team guys who just love to compete, man. So I felt you could feel that energy coming from him. So he make you want to play to your highest level just because you don't want to let guys like him, guys like Bill, you don't want to let them guys down.
And you talk about Bill, and we look at where New England is at right now and what it was like when you was there. What you see that's the difference outside of Tom Brady, we understand that. What do you think is the difference? Have time changed? Have players changed? Or have Bill won enough to where sometime we get on an even plateau, we just ride in the wave? Do you see that happening in New England? Is that something that you see that Bill possibly, because you know him, you played for him?
No, I feel like, football in itself changed. So just at that time when Bill and Tom was there, that style of football was super, that's what was winning styles of football. So he had Tom Brady at quarterback. He was the innovator on defense. A lot of the stuff that people do or just finished doing in the NFL, they got from Bill. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So yes,
Bill was innovating on defense and learning how to stop guys like Peyton Manning and, you know what I'm saying, and so on. And Tom was doing his thing on offense. So together, like I said, it was just a perfect marriage. And they was winning at the time. But time changed, man. Everybody had a day. So, you know, it was successful for a while. You break it up, one guy gone. So if Bill would have left and Tom would have stayed, now maybe the defense would have been different. And Tom would have still scored points, but maybe they would have got outscored. So we never know. It just together it worked. When it separated, it didn't work so good. So I think just times change, man. Things, style of football change in the NFL. So it's just the next guy's up.
Next guy's up. And for those that are joining, we're talking with Super Bowl champion Aqib Talib. B, go ahead, because I know you anxious. You're sitting on the edge of your seat to ask the question. Go ahead, my brother.
I appreciate it, man. And thanks for joining once again, Aqib. And my question to you would be, my brother, is, you know, as you mentioned before, when you came from New England to the Denver Broncos, you brought a mystique that the Broncos did not have. As a fan and as a journalist, I sat back and I knew the team did not have that. So I'd like to know, what was it like working with John Elway and him being able to get you to come play for the Denver Broncos at that time? And what was it like for you to, as you mentioned before, being a locker room guy, to being that, bringing that whole locker room, helping bring that locker room together to win a Super Bowl?
It was dope working with John, man. John, a guy, he gonna kick it to you straight at all times. He just wants you to be yourself, man. He was big on be yourself. He hear from guys, you know, it's the NFL. So anything you put in that little backpack and you go to the next team, it's gonna follow you around the league. So you're gonna have a name in that NFL. So you kind of hear about who you are in the locker room, you hear what kind of guy you are, a confident guy. They see you in games. They compete against you. They see how you communicate with your guys when they compete against you. So he always just told me to be myself with the guys, bring what you bring to the table. So, man, it was dope working with him. And that's kind of what he did for his team. Man, he was a confident guy who had swag and, you know, was a team guy. Brought his team together. So, man, just to be led by a guy like John, that was dope. That was dope, man. And, sure.
And more for you. What about, what was it like playing with Von Miller? You know, Von Miller, a Hall of Fame linebacker, an implemented person, a big person to play on that defense to help you get a Super Bowl championship. What's it like to play with Killer Miller?
Yeah, that was a movie in itself, man. That's probably one of the all time greats in my opinion to play that position. Definitely a Hall of Famer. But when you talk about like locker room guys and team guys and lead by example type guys, I feel like Von is the guy. He is the locker room guy. That's like you think his superpower is rushing that passer, but really it's him opening his doors and having events and buying gifts and just always doing stuff to bring his team together. You know what I'm saying? That's wow. one of his superpowers as well. So man, just to have a group of, when you get multiple of those type of guys on the team, I'm telling you, those are the championship type of team. So I know what I'm talking about. I've been on Orange Bowl teams, Super Bowl teams, AFC championship teams. I've lost Super Bowls. I'm telling you, the thing that all those teams have in common is they have a bunch of those guys who are just team guys, man. And it leads to W's. And Von is the epitome of one of those guys. I promise you, everybody in the league, you know, but some guys he never even played with, but they're like, yeah, Von, hook me up on this and this and this. It's just what type of guy he is. He's just a super good dude. You know what I'm saying? And he was probably the lead dog of the locker room on that Super Bowl run. When it was time to make plays, he always made them. And in the biggest game, that boy made the biggest plays, man, won an MVP. So it was dope playing with Von, man. He was a hell of a teammate.
Wow. And Talib, we talk about locker room. You talk about having guys that believe in what you believe in. And then fast forward to the Broncos right now. We're seeing all the stuff that is going on with the Broncos, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. Do you feel that chemistry ever gelled together enough to bring enough victories to keep the Broncos into the playoffs? Or do you see that was just something that they was trying to make work and it just never gelled?
Well, I mean, it's year to year. That's the good thing about the league, Tony. It's year to year. It could be a selfish team 1 year, come back the next year, we have all kind of people come talk to these, and they could bring a military guy in, he give a speech, and bam, the vibe changed of the room. I'm telling you, it was year to year. So
right.
they kind of had it going, fell off this year, man. Sean Payton is a great leader, and you know, let him put his stamp on it, he got to have his guys in there who believe in what he's saying, and then they'll take that to the locker room and get everybody else to believe it, and then that's how that team thing goes. So, hey, it's year to year, man. It don't matter how I look this year. It could be totally different next year, man. So I'm confident. I'm confident Sean Payton will do his thing because that's what he always do. So he'll get it together.
Yeah, he's a winner. He is a Super Bowl champion, so he is a winner. He understands about what it takes.
Winner,
he's
had
Drew Brees. Big winner, big
you know what
thanks,
doing.
Man. Hey, Talib, man, thank you for joining the show. Man, it's been a pleasure.
Sure.
Listen, I hope we can get you on at some more during the year.
Ooh.
Bring you on to chop it up with us. Hall of Fame,
Yes, sir. Hey, I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all keep doing y'all thing.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Akeem.
I got you, Tony. Whenever.
All right, thank you, my brother.
You already know. All right,
now, take care. All right. Yes, sir. To a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back on the backside of this. And guess what? We're going to talk about how games ended last week to where it is a controversy throughout the NFL, and they may be changing the way you check in or you check out. Stay tuned here as we've been to check out, go to these commercial break, and we're coming back on the other side of the show. For those that want to call the show, you can call 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008 on the other side of this show.
Not you eating on your daddy's white carpet.
When you like me, you can do that.
No, I'd never do that.
But anyway, be spicy, marinated, hand-breaded, new KFC hot and spicy wings. They legendary.
Man, cut the bull joke and give me one of the wings.
Mm-hmm.
Get 8 of KFC's new hot and spicy wings for only $4.99.
Coach Saban, this goat done took over our office.
And he's using it to send out medical bills.
Good hands.
Hospital bill for Prime.
Yeah.
Did you just say GAP?
He's talking about expenses health insurance doesn't cover.
Good thing Coach Prime knows about. Say it one time.
Aflac.
Because Aflac gets you money to help close that gap.
Now how do we get this goat out of here?
Aflac.
Meet one of my new homies.
Get help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover at Aflac.com.
Elephant would have been scarier.
That's how you train like a beast.
Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got?
No.
Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Bring what you got.
shoot like a beast.
Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No, no, no. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. I'm going to the top.
And we said going to the top. The Cowboys are trying to go to the top. For those that are joining, we just had Aqib Talib, Super Bowl champion.
Yes.
He was getting a chance. He was giving us his insight,
woo,
how he sees Sean Payton. Like you said, Sean Payton has put his stamp on the Denver Broncos. And, he's
and
got
we got to respect it, Tony. We got to respect what Aqib Talib. It is what
hey,
it
listen,
is.
I'm not saying anything.
You know what I mean?
He's a Denver Bronco.
Here's some insight that I think that I want to add a little bit of context. One, it was great to have the Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famer on here, Super Bowl champion, right? And, you know, for him to give us an information about what it's like to play with both Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, right? He gave us information about what it's like to play with Von Miller, right? Yeah. I mean, we see Miller every week destroying games and being this guy, but I mean, to give you some context of who he is as a great person behind the scenes is great information. And then here's one other thing. He mentioned about the military thing and being in a year to year. Remember, he says sometimes a team can bring in a military guy and it could change the whole thing. Let me add a little bit of context of what he's trying to tell you.
Go ahead.
What happened was the Denver Broncos brought in a special person from a special forces, the United States government, special forces guy. Peyton Manning in particular wanted to do this. Okay, he and John Elway got a special forces person to come through. Now, you would probably say, we all saying, what's the purpose of a special forces person? Now, the special forces guy came to the Broncos and explained to them about teamwork, cohesion, and how you got to watch what you do is relevant to your teammate. Okay, he also brought in one other element. He said, when things don't go right as a special forces unit, they come back together, regroup, and they go back out. And apply what they just now have to make a modification. So what Aqib is telling us is that, which actually happened, the Broncos brought in the special forces person to talk to the team, and Peyton Manning implemented that strategy that the special forces guy gave them by bringing the offense every time that year. If you notice, the Denver Broncos, he would always bring everyone together after every series, even if it was successful.
Right.
He would still bring people together and say, this is what we're going to do in the next drive. So I just wanted to add a little bit of context of what Aqib Talib was talking about on how it's a year-to-year league and a coach and a team can bring in a person that can help bring cohesion and bring a team together that much better.
When we talk about cohesion, let's jump to last week.
Yes.
When we talk about cohesion, we look at the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions game. And we look at that game, the way that game went, you know, went back and forth. Good game.
Great
but
game.
But at the ending is what everybody is talking about, how it did.
Yes.
Before we get into it, Thomas, play that sound. Play that sound bite.
Second down and 10. There's St. Brown. Head of steam. Touchdown, Detroit. Wow. And they're within a point. And the call has already been made by Dan Campbell.
To Micah Parsons, but Goff had to get the ball out as well.
Dan Skipper, an extra offensive lineman, comes in. Play action. End zone. There it is! Unbelievable! The two-point try is good, and it's Taylor Decker. So the call is an illegal touch.
I think number 70 and number 68 came in, and I'm not sure 68 reported as an eligible.
Well, 68 is Taylor Decker, their left tackle.
Now, B, as they said, we saw the play play out. We saw the play being played out.
Right.
They said three guys, and which we'll get back to in a second, three guys came in to check. They went to the ref to check in, and all they really got to do is do this because the coaches will go to them, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do at this point of the game if we're ever in that situation. And if you heard the press conference, that's exactly what Coach said. I went through this over and over and over and over and over and over again. Two people can't check in. That was his exact word. So when we see that play out, And we're going to go back to it because I want to be able to let my audience see exactly what I'm seeing. Because as early as today, I heard the announcement be to where the ref said number 70 has checked in as eligible. Did you hear that soundbite where they said number 70 checked in as eligible?
Yes, so, he did. He did say that.
Okay, right. But I'm saying the ref said, he said number 70 is checked in as eligible. Okay, so correct. Now this is my, here I go. If you as a coach hear that, but you know number 70 is not that dude. So now you got to pay attention to the defense. Understand what the defense, if they tell me as a defender, okay, number 70 is eligible, who do I know to guard? Number 70. I'm not looking right. to guard number 68.
I'm it was a great play call. 68. It was a great play call.
Great play call. Great. Listen.
But. Awesome. They got, here's where I agree with you, but here's where I think they got it really wrong. 70 came in.
Correct.
68 should have declined, should have made himself eligible.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Because 68 is the person who's catching the ball, not 70. So correct. 70 making himself eligible says I can catch the ball, but 68 catching the ball is not eligible.
Not eligible. This is what
that's just the first call. That's the first infraction on Detroit, though. The second one is that it's an illegal formation.
Yes.
You have the eligible man inside the uneligible man.
You got him covered up.
You have him covered up.
You got him covered up.
So that's two infractions on the same play.
Yeah. They covered up. You can't, a covered up receiver can't go out on in a pass route. That's why you got a tight end on one side, you have your receiver offset. He's not on the line of scrimmage because he just covered up the tight end. The tight end can't go out. Not only that, I'm quite sure them coaches, quarterback players heard them say over that intercom, number 70 has just checked in as elder. If I hear that and
it's
I
loud.
Know that's not what it's
loud,
going,
bro.
It's loud. I'm doing loud. One of these. I'm going
it's
to
loud.
Time out.
You know what, though? You know what? I think that what you're saying is right, but that stadium is loud. You and I both have been in that stadium. The game is basically on the line at this moment.
Correct.
That stadium is loud. And I think that they figured, Dan Campbell in his mind figures, we went over this already 1,000 times. Right?
Correct. Yeah.
Right? We went over it. And 68, here's the mistake. He came in so excited, like Tony forgot to line up because he was so excited he was going to do that trickery. Right? He came in so excited to catch this touchdown that he forgot to report eligible.
That and I'm telling you, I think when you looked at it, because I think the ref communicated, they first of all, why would you send three people over there? You're trying to fool the defense, but you can't fool the defense because they're gonna tell them who's eligible.
Right.
You can't fool no one. So when you send three people over there to the ref, and Thomas, play that from where we stopped at and let that play out.
And he's the one who ends up making the catch.
Right, but he's on the end of the line, and he's been playing that ineligible position. So if he's going to be on the end of the line and be eligible, he needed to report as
report,
well.
Report, see? Wow. There it
so
is,
that
bro.
Back it up, and the Lions will have to do it again.
Well, you see Dan talking to him, and I can't imagine, I can't imagine them having that play in and him not reporting because that would
see?
Be stressed.
It's crazy.
Throughout the week. I that is hard to believe.
Well, let me ask you this. Now that it backs you up, do you kick the extra point and tie the game? They leave their offense out there to try to convert again.
Yeah, from the 7-yard line. This is aggressive.
Two-man shell at the bottom
Denver
of the screen.
Didn't report. He caught the two-point conversion. They threw the flag at the end of it. And now a flag on Parsons. This one's picked, but Parsons came across. There's a flag.
I see
on
a lot of people
play.
Not looking at that play either.
Game's so now, on the line, though. Game's
game
on, the
is
line.
On the line. Look. And as you guys know, and people see, you shouldn't. You should. If 68 was going to be your eligible guy, you send 68 to the ref. There's that way. There's no miscommunication. Hey, ref, I'm eligible on this play. He's going to go into the because if you notice, the ref went to the defense and told him, hey. So, number 70 is eligible. So they knew to guard who? Number 70. They didn't think the guard, number 68, if they knew number 68 was eligible, I'm quite sure they would have what? Guarded number 68. That play wouldn't have went that easy.
Right. Right. I agree. And on top of that, too, you know what? I think that if we were to go back and watch the substitutions when they came on and off the field, there was a miscommunication in the substitution package on what they were doing. Because 70 running onto the field then put 60. Who came off for 70?
I didn't see who jotted off.
See, and that's 70. The part right there, where I think that there was a miscommunication. He comes onto the field, but what was he doing reporting? He should have just reported as, he should have just went to the huddle, I'm the right tackle.
I'm in my huddle. I ain't got to go to the ref. Why am I going to the ref?
What are you going to the ref for? You're playing right tackle. 68's job, though, was to say something. And see, that's where I think the miscommunication. So Dan Campbell's whole team had a complete breakdown at that moment.
Correct.
Although he's a great coach, he gambled. It was a great call. But hey, you know what? This is about the time of year where execution makes the difference. Execution is going to make the difference. You know, you have to be mentally prepared, and execution comes down to mental.
And I got I was watching from some of my Facebook people saying, okay, Adam Schefter put out on the video coverage that suggests that Decker indeed reported as eligible before the Lions attempted to play. What I'm saying is what they did, they tried to fool the Dallas Cowboys and they misled the referee. Why did three people have to go over there for one guy to check in? That's where you started playing a game.
But not only that, what ref acknowledges that he checked in on the sideline, but then the other ref says he didn't check in? See,
that's what
if the sideline ref would have said they was playing a game where he stepped onto the field, told the sideline ref, I'm eligible. I don't even think they would have let that rock. He would have had to tell the ref who's spotting the ball that I'm eligible.
He can't
tell the sideline guy, because then the sideline guy got to run all the way to the middle and tell him. You see what I'm saying? So it was a gaffe on their part.
Like I said, it was their miscommunication, and it is what it is. It sends the Dallas Cowboys to the top of the NFC East at this time.
That's right.
They got another game against Washington this week. If they want to show their true colors, the Dallas Cowboys got to go into this game full go to send the message going to the playoffs. Let's switch gears. And when we talk about players, let's talk about players here. Okay. Let's talk about some players. Thing as we know, Russell Wilson will not be a Denver Bronco next year. I don't care if Denver is paying the salary for him to be in another location. He will not be in Denver. And John, and when you look at this whole thing and you see Sean Payton was very clear.
Right.
This not my guy. I can't win. If you want a championship, you want me to bring what I bought to New Orleans, you got to let me do this with my guys. But then we talk about another guy. If teams could have gotten Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
Go ahead and enlighten the audience on this Saquon situation. We'll jump into it.
Well, you know, as a New Yorker, Tony, the big talk in New York City right now is it's not Aaron Rodgers. It's not the Jets. It's not even the Giants. It's about Saquon Barkley and will the New York Giants give him a contract? And at the end of the day, I think it's going to come down to they need to give this guy a contract. The guy has done everything admirably. He's been the offense for them. I understand the league is not privy right now, or they're not interested in giving running backs big contracts. But look what's happening with Jahmyr Gibbs. Look at James Cook right now. Okay, these people are game changers. Aaron Jones, these people, McCaffrey in San Francisco. These people are going to be our game changers, and they are going to be bigger factors, in my opinion, in the playoffs. The running backs will be on wins. And in comparison to the quarterbacks, you got to lean on the running backs in December and January of football, playoff football, to win a Super Bowl. You got to run the ball, right? So Saquon Barkley, in the offseason, I think the New York Giants need to give him a contract. Now, if they don't, Tony, this guy goes to Houston. Can you imagine him with C.J. Stroud?
True. And
how about the Denver Broncos? How about the Denver Broncos as a compliment to Javonte Williams?
It depends on what he's asking.
How about
he can go to Frisco? Depends on what he's asking.
Well, Frisco's got McCaffrey, but I'm saying, what about
Miami? No. There's two Frisco. I ain't say San Francisco. Okay. I said Frisco. The Frisco is in Dallas, not that Frisco. I'm talking Frisco in Dallas because we need a guy. He would be
wow.
If we can get him, Man.
Wow.
The Dallas Cowboys, I'm telling you. That's to me, that's that missing piece of the puzzle. And I'm going to tell you something. In this day and age of the running back, at the running back position, paying running backs now is going to be tough. I don't see them giving Saquon what he's looking for. When we look at Saquon's history, and this is what they're saying about the running back position on the backside of their career, their durability is playing a factor. Let's look at even this year. Saquon only had, right at this point, has 916 yards. That's
on a bad team. On a bad team, though.
But they're not gonna value the bad team. They're gonna say, has he peaked? Is he durable?
Well, here's the thing, Tony.
The running back position is not a premium anymore.
I agree, but here's the thing. So maybe he doesn't break the bank, but he changes a team's whole forecast if you get this guy. We just now mentioned the Dallas Cowboys, the Denver Broncos, the Houston Texans, right?
Correct.
The list can go on. The list can go on. I mean, there's a bunch of teams that can use this guy.
Oh, right.
So at the end of the day, I'm just saying, I think
that premium money. He's not going to get that premium pay.
He's not going to get the premium money, but I think that I think teams are going to respect the fact that they know that he's such a game changer that he's going to get a good contract and he's going to change the future of somebody's team.
Correct. And I want to chime in on some of our guests that are watching the show that is, you know, one of my guy, he's one of my good buddy, Anthony Wayne, as I call him. He had to go by Anthony on Facebook. Wayne Adams.
Shout out Wayne.
Listen, Wayne's saying that he went back to Sean Payton, never screamed at Drew Brees, the same topic that me and you got into. That Sean Payton never, you know, screamed at him. He also said that, you know, pay that man, which means Sam Barkley. Josh said, free Jerry Jeudy. Josh Wilson said, free Jerry Jeudy.
Now listen, I got a response for him now. I got a response for him now. Now listen, y'all.
Go ahead.
I want y'all to go back, all the listeners, I want you to go back. If you think Jerry Jeudy is doing something or he's performed up to expectations, just go back into that draft. And look who the Denver Broncos could have had. We could have had CeeDee Lamb. I'm going to start with your boy, CeeDee Lamb. We could have had T. Higgins, Justin Jefferson. The list goes on. Jerry Jeudy hasn't lived up to the contract, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen. He may be able to succeed in another team, but he's going to be the first guy out on draft day. First guy out. There's too many talented wide receivers coming out in this draft for the Denver Broncos to stick with Jerry Jeudy. Just being honest with you, when you see guys like Puka Nacua coming out of BYU balling, okay, you got Zay Flowers coming out of the school he came out of balling. There's a lot of talent coming out. Unfortunately, Jerry Jeudy will be fourth round pick for the Denver Broncos, unfortunately, in a trade. Maybe he'll succeed somewhere else, though.
Like I said, definitely he was one of those top five names of guys that they are reporting that will not be back with the Denver Broncos. You know, me and Vaughn get into some heated arguments about my man Jerry Jeudy. Me and him will go back and forth about that situation. And he has his opinion, I have mine. But I'm telling you guys, listen, the hopeless.
I'm a fan of the guy, though. I want to say I'm a fan of the guy. And coming out of college, I was a fan of him. I'm not going to say to you that I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I thought T. Higgins always going to be a better one. I didn't know that. I thought Jerry Jeudy was a solid pick at the time. But unfortunately, the routes that he runs, the route combinations that he runs, the style of routes that he runs do not fit the schemes that we've been having on our team. Now, we could put Jerry Jeudy, let's say, on Arizona with Kyler Murray or offense that breaks down where he can be able to break off his routes. I think he'll be a little bit more successful.
And V, we got to go. We got 30 seconds. Give me your pick for the national championship.
Penix to the house. Penix, brother. The best quarterback in the draft. I'm going to say it now. Michael Penix.
I'm going Michigan. I understand he's the best quarterback, but I love that Michigan defense. I'm going Michigan for this. I'm telling you.
Serious
Michigan.
Team. Serious team.
And we will see.
Harbaugh is serious, brother.
He can coach. So we're going to see you guys back next Thursday as we find out who picked one. Did Washington or did Michigan handle businesses? Harbaugh,
and we got to talk coaches. We got to talk coaches because some coaches might not be here.
There's going to be some coaching changes as we call Big Monday next week. So we're signing off here on the Tony Sands Show. It's me and VC, Broncos, Cowboys, Let's go. Let's get it done. We're moving on to better horizons.
That's right.
Here on the Tony Sands Show.